This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Dave Swan, and welcome to another edition of Silver Screen Spoilers. This week I'm joined by an esteemed panel of Kevin J. Kessler,
yo yo,
and Sean Ryan, aka Brian Brass.
What's up,
aka Frosty the Snowman.
What?
I've never gone by that except in some little circles that I don't associate with it.
Oh, okay. And we are here to talk about the latest news in the Hollywood and television news industries. And today specifically we're going to be talking about spoilers for RoboCop and Pompeii 3D. So, as per the usual, if you don't want those movies spoiled for you, you know, beware. But we'll let you know when we're getting to those.
Beware.
So, we're going to jump right into some news about some television shows and some movies of the geek variety.
Excellent. Our favorite kind.
That's right. Earlier this week, the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer hit
yes.
on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga. I've been doing it all week.
Pumped up, I got a feeling, sales on iTunes.
It did
like 40%, yeah.
That's awesome. I actually almost went out and bought it, just because it's been in my head all week.
So if you have not yet
hooked
seen...
hooked on a feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hooked on a feeling.
I said I got a feeling.
Oh, yeah, it's hooked on a feeling.
So if you have not yet seen the trailer, you know, go check it out. We'll go around. We'll get the thoughts. Kevin?
Yeah. I thought it was actually kind of refreshing because, listen, I mean, I don't mind the dreariness of the usual DC film, like the dark, you know, but this was a nice, refreshing reminder that a superhero movie can have some joy in it, that you can do things that are funny and still mix it with some badass action and a talking raccoon and a tree man and, you know, and have it work and be fun. I think this is the role Vin Diesel was born to play.
A talking tree?
Yes. Rock tree. But, you know, like that kind of thing. But I wanted David Tennant for Rocket originally, because that was what was rumored. But, you know, Bradley Cooper will do fine. I did watch the... I've watched all five of, like, the Meet the Guardians little videos that they put out. And you do hear Bradley Cooper talk as Rocket in the Meet Rocket one. And he sounds pretty good.
Well, I think that's genius, too, in addition to the trailer, which is very... I mean, it's they're saying it's trailer number one. It's very much a teaser.
It's a teaser, trailer. Yeah. But I will say the one thing that I geek out for, though, in this film more than anything else is... And I think Brass might actually agree with me because he's another Whovian, is Karen Gillan as Nebula, the granddaughter of Thanos. She looked awesome. If you could find... Like, she's only in it for, like, 3 seconds, but if you pause it, I mean, you got the purple face and the bald head. She looked awesome.
Yeah, which was weird seeing her with a bald head without the makeup.
Yeah.
But now you see what it was for, and it actually makes it a lot cooler.
Exactly, yeah.
And the response was pretty much overwhelmingly positive.
Yes, it was a very... See, you know, I think I had said over on Kevin Squared, another podcast we did for Geeks, this was a week of the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and I'm sure we'll get to the lowest of lows in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, actually, we'll jump right into that.
Wait, we didn't get Brass's opinion on Guardians.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I think the trailer looked awesome. Not saying I think the movie's going to be awesome, but I think what it looks like, especially like, and I think, Swan, I think you brought it up on one of your Facebook posts, they played into the fact that nobody knows who these people are, and they played into it so good.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, it was, and I think it looks good. Different view on when the movie's all said and done, if it'll make its money.
Well, you know that Thanos is going to be in the film, right?
Yeah, but... I don't want to get in too much into it because it's just about the trailer. We'll wait till there's a Guardians of the Galaxy talk for
okay.
me to put my points out.
Because they did say there was a thing where someone was like, oh, we're going to get another teaser shot of Thanos? And they were like, no, he's in the film. So we know he's in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very realistic on what their expectations for this are. I don't think they're expecting it to do Avengers numbers.
I certainly hope not.
No. But, I mean, I think they're very realistic as to what it's going to deliver.
I think it could do better than what Ghost Rider did really well. I mean, the first Ghost Rider.
Yeah. But
so,
I,
if that can do well, this can do well.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very realistic. I mean, as far as Thanos being in it, I'm a firm believer that supervillains don't sell movies, so I don't...
Really? You think that the Joker didn't sell The Dark
no,
Knight?
No, I think that a Batman movie is going to sell...
regardless of... I disagree with you on that, because whenever anyone talks about a superhero movie, the first question is always, who's the villain?
Yeah, but the movie with the Batman movies, the one with Ra's al Ghul sold, the one with Bane sold, the one with Joker sold, they all sell. I don't think that it really matters who the...
The one with Poison Ivy sold, Mr. Freeze sold.
Well, that's different. That was a damaged brand at that point, too.
But I'm saying they still made money with terrible villains.
Right. Yeah. For the record, Mr. Freeze is not a terrible villain.
Terrible acted.
Terribly
villains.
Acted, yes.
Yeah. Moving along from there, as you alluded earlier, pretty much after the geek community was on a huge high with the Guardians of the Galaxy, Fox brought it back down, crashing down with the casting announcement for the Fantastic Four reboot with Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm, a.k.a. the Human Torch, Kate Mara as Sue Storm, Miles Teller as Reed Richards, and Jamie Bell as Ben Grimm, a.k.a. Thing.
It's awful.
A.k.a. Skinny Thing.
Yeah. Skinny Thing, Black Human Torch, which, by the way, I'm not all that upset that the Human Torch is black. I'm more upset that Johnny's black, but Sue is white.
Yeah, make them both black.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if they're biological brother and sister, they kind of have to be this, you know.
Listen, Marvel or Disney needs to pony up, I don't know, $1 billion or something, $500 million.
Fantastic Four is not worth $1 billion.
No. It's not just Fantastic Four. All their outside properties.
Oh,
make
yeah,
a big
well,
big deal. Get X-Men. Get Fantastic Four. Get it all back under the umbrella.
You're dreaming if you think they're ever letting go of X-Men or Spider-Man.
Because you're killing all your major star. Well, Spider-Man's not really. Or X-Men's also okay, but it would just be better if it was under the same umbrella. I mean, this casting is atrocious.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a reboot this soon. The first two Fantastic Four movies were terrible. You know,
yes, they were.
Give us 8 years and then throw out another remake.
You want to know what I think is funny? Is you remember before the first Fantastic Four movie, there was that one that never got released,
the Roger Corman.
Yes, the Roger Corman Fantastic Four, the one that the documentary Doomed is about. They made that film just to keep the rights, and now they're doing it again. They're making another horrible Fantastic Four movie just to keep the rights. So it's like history is repeating itself.
What is it? Every 5 years they have to have a film?
Yeah, but I'll tell you something though. This is going to be
more than five, because it's been more than five since.
Well, this is
going to
be
Silver Surfer.
This is going to be the last Fantastic Four film. It's going to be it, because there's no way the franchise is going to be so damaged after this, and it's going to make no money. Because, you know, even, like, the most hardcore geeks who see everything are like, I'm not seeing that.
Well, no, I mean, people are going to see that. I mean, I'm going to go see this. I mean, people are going to go see
this.
By
giving it your money, you're just, like, putting your stamp on it. I'm just not going
to
go.
Listen, to quote another podcast, I'll make a bold prediction. Fantastic Four might make more money than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, it might. Well, did you hear the rumor about Doom? Doom's going to be a lady, they're saying. It's going to be Lady Doom.
Bold prediction. Guardians of the Galaxy is going to make more money than
yeah, exactly.
Fantastic Four.
The one thing that my co-host over on Kevin Square, Kevin Clark, said, he was like, I'll see it unless there's Lady Doom. If there's Lady Doom, I'm out.
And then he got Lady Doom, and now he's out.
Yeah.
But that's rumored.
Yeah. I mean, every bit of casting so far in this is terrible. I mean, Jamie Bell as Thing is one thing, because I'm sure it's just going to be motion capture once
yeah.
he becomes Thing. I mean, him as Ben Grimm, I don't see at all.
Well, Michael Chiklis as Ben Grimm in The Thing, by the way, one of the few things that were really good about those original films.
And Captain America as Johnny Storm, I thought was also good, because
he
fit that character.
Yeah.
And Jessica Alba, she's just pretty on the eyes.
Well, that's all that she was there to be.
That's all that the character is. I mean, let's face it, it's a one-dimensional character.
Well, yeah, and if you know me at all, and my likes with comic books, you know that Reed Richards is the character I hate with a fiery, passionate vengeance. So no matter who plays Reed Richards, I hate them.
So you're not going to grow little white sideburns?
No, not intentionally, anyway.
I also don't see Reed Richards being played by a 26-year-old.
No, that's the thing. I think when we talked about it earlier in the week, Swan, you called it CW casting, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is straight across the board, is it's definitely...
It's glossy casting. You know, it's look at our pretty things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Teller is... Actually, I think Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan were both from that awkward moment, the last Zac Efron movie that just came out.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, they're both romantic comedy actors.
Right.
So it's, I don't know.
But see, the thing with the Fantastic Four, with Marvel not having the rights, it's not so much that I want them to have the main four, Ben, Johnny, Sue, and Reed. It's that I want them to have, I want Marvel Studios to have Doom, and I want them to have the Skrulls, and I want them to have Galactus.
Well, they could still use the characters.
They can't.
No?
No. Fox owns Doom, Silver Surfer, Galactus, and the Skrulls. That's why you didn't get the Skrulls in the Avengers movie.
I've never heard anything about the rights to the Skrulls.
That came out this week. Somebody from Marvel was like, if you think we can do a movie with the Skrulls, you're wrong, because we can't.
But now let me ask you this.
They're Fantastic Four characters.
How did you know that there weren't Skrulls in the Avengers movie?
Because they were called the Chitauri.
No, how do you know there weren't Skrulls in the Avengers movie?
They could have been anywhere. Don't start a Skrull discussion. But Marvel Studios tried to buy the rights for Galactus from Fox, and Fox shut him down. They were like, listen, keep the Fantastic Four, just give us Galactus and Silver Surfer, and because obviously they had some kind of plan for them. And Fox, they negotiated for a little bit, and then Fox closed the door on him.
Well, you need Silver Surfer if you're doing the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes.
Well, I bet you're wrong, because they're going to do it without
him.
Yeah.
I think that Silver Surfer and Galactus are probably the two least interesting characters out of the ones that you just named from a movie perspective.
Yeah. Out of all of them, the Skrulls is probably the biggest, because that's, you could do a whole Avengers, like at least 2-3 movies just on the Skrull storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could have it building throughout the series. Doom, though, is a Marvel Studios must-have, I think.
Yeah, but you don't need Doom if you don't have the Fantastic Four. Yeah, Doom versus Spider-Man doesn't work.
Well, no, but Doom has
you
become
don't have Spider-Man. Either,
so. I'm just saying
Doom has become more of a Doom versus Iron Man works, because they're basically the same.
But I don't know.
Doom is more than just a Fantastic Four villain at this point. Doom is a Marvel Universe villain. He's one of those guys that he could pop up against any team. You see him pop up on the Avengers cartoon. You see him pop up on Ultimate Spider-Man all the time. He's just a general Marvel big bad at this point. Much more than just
I'd rather see him get them. Magneto than Doom.
Well, that's never going to happen.
TV show Gotham announced its biggest piece of casting
this
week with... I don't know why you're this excited about Jada Pinkett Smith, but...
Wait, what?
Jada Pinkett Smith has been announced for Gotham.
I didn't hear this news.
For a character that nobody knows.
I thought really. You were talking about Pertwee as Alfred.
No, Jada Pinkett Smith, excuse me, will be playing Fish Mooney in Gotham.
Okay.
She'll be playing the Penguin's boss.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and which it's obviously the biggest star power now on the show.
Yeah.
Shows a little bit of more commitment to it.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for Gotham.
Yeah.
You heard who's playing Alfred, right, Bress?
Yeah.
Sean Pertwee, the son of John Pertwee, the third doctor. Very, very. That means they're going MI6 Alfred, you know, like on Her Majesty's Secret Service Alfred from the Earth One book.
Yeah. We've talked about that, and I know you especially have gotten very excited about an Alfred that's only existed in one comic book ever.
Yeah, but it's a version of Alfred that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just the, oh yes, monster. Just like Jarvis had to be updated to fit an Iron Man that exists in this era, I feel Alfred needs that as well to fit a Batman of this era. I think if you have Alfred be this, you know, former, like at the end of the day, the concept of a butler who does everything for you is kind of dated, but the concept of that the Waynes had this bodyguard for their son, right, who eventually took caretaking over him and then just kind of falls into that butler role, that I can see. Mm-hmm. Because rich people don't have butlers, they have bodyguards.
Right.
And, you know, that would also explain how Bruce starts down the path to becoming a little bit more deadly and efficient, is that he can literally spar with Alfred in the Batcave. Mm. And like you have a Jeremy Irons and you have a Sean Pertwee. These are guys who look like old, grizzled MI6 agents who can fight you to the death with a ballpoint pen. And that's what I'm very excited about, because that's going to be a big part of Batman's training, I think.
Yeah. I'm still curious to see how much Batman we do get in the Gotham series.
Well, they said the show's gonna get you got Jim Gordon and Bruce's stories running parallel.
Right. I mean the timetables that they're talking about, I mean, obviously don't line up as far as just because they've talked about a 12-year-old Bruce.
Yeah.
And then the show ending with him putting the cape and cowl on.
Right.
And I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm curious to see what they do. Moving on, last piece of geek news here is kind of a double Star Wars television announcement with Clone Wars being announced. Final season is going to be airing on Netflix.
Brilliant move.
Yeah, I mean, great move. Not really terribly surprising, given Disney's work with Marvel and Netflix.
Yep, I'm just surprised Disney doesn't have their own Netflix service at this point.
Yeah, and they began a ton of promoting for Star Wars Rebels, which debuts this fall.
Yes,
on Disney XD.
The character trailers were put out. Did you see any of those, Brass?
No, I didn't.
Looks good.
Live action or cartoon?
It's cartoon. It's like the Clone Wars, but a little bit more crisp, a little less cartoony, if you will.
Okay.
Swan and I were actually at New York Comic Con. We went to the Star Wars Rebels panel, and actually something I think you'll really like, Brass, is a lot of the vehicles in this are actually takeoffs from the a lot of like the 70s toys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like they use the concept art and a lot of the old toys, and they like remodeled them to fit the show.
Yeah, really? I mean, they're doing a lot of, I'm kind of surprised how early they're doing a lot of the advertising, considering it doesn't roll out until this fall.
Right. I think they're just generating excitement. It's Star Wars. People will get, you know, and this is our first piece of Disney-produced Star Wars that we're going to get. So this, like, the eyes of the world are really going to be fixed on this.
Yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr. is one of the stars, one of the main voice talents.
I'm cool with that. He pops up.
Oh, yeah.
He pops up everywhere, man. He was a writer for WWE for a while.
Yeah.
He just pops up wherever he wants to in entertainment. He's got it figured out.
Okay. Going to move to talking about some of the movies that we have coming out. And there's a theme running through the movies coming out this week, where we're going to talk about three movies coming out, all dealing with the theme of religion in movies. We'll start with the big one, which is Noah, coming out.
Making movies, making boats, and fighting around the world. I hope he gets to fight things. I hope it's just Russell Crowe fighting animals.
That's all he's good at. What did you like him to sing, like Les Mis again?
Storm in your morning. It sounded like Marley Matlin singing Les Miserables.
It was just him talking. It wasn't even singing. It was Russell Crowe talking voice.
Oh, he was in the back of his throat. Like, it was horrible. But it was like, oi, we got two of each animal here. Two animals to fight.
Well, yeah, I mean, based on the trailers, there's going to be a lot of fighting scenes. There's obviously a lot of scenes where people are trying to take the arc.
Yeah,
this time around. Yeah,
because let go of Tugger, you stupid blighter. The arc is Tugger. You vagina.
What's your thoughts? I'm going to see it. I'll probably see it.
I'm entertained by Russell Crowe at this point.
I would like to see it, but I think it's going to be one of those movies that's just made and picked on for the next 12 years.
Yeah, I don't think this movie is going to reinvent the wheel, or it's not going to, you know, nobody's going to be like, this is my new favorite movie. It's going to be a Russell Crowe movie.
But you got to remember, it's a Darren Aronofsky movie. When he makes his movies, they always go under the radar, then they come out, everybody's like, did you see that movie? That movie is amazing.
Yeah, but usually, like, those are more downplayed themes. And,
yeah, that's crazy. He's going above and beyond what he normally does.
You know, funny thing about Darren Aronofsky, when I saw The Wrestler, because, you know, knowing what we know all from personal experience being in the business of professional wrestling, we're like, wow, like, he really nailed this movie. Like, he really nailed this right on the head. Black Swan, when that came out, I remember I said to somebody, my friend of mine who does ballet, I'm like, oh, so is it like, you know, like, is it like what the wrestling was? And it's like really like into ballet. She's like, oh, I haven't seen it yet. So then I watched it, and she's like, turned it into a swan. And I'm like, huh, I guess it's not.
Yeah, that was crazy. If you ever seen Requiem for a Dream. That's very closely, I guess, what it would be like to be a junkie and addiction and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he can go crazy with his themes, but like Swan said, like this is like an epic level movie.
Yeah.
This is big. You know, this is grand. This isn't like a couple actors chewing up the scenery. This is Russell Crowe fighting people that are trying to attack the boat, you know? Yeah. Apparently don't even want to get in on the boat to survive the flood.
They just want to break the boat.
Yeah, they just want to destroy it because I guess they want Russell Crowe to die too. But if you think about it, in real life,
well, you know what?
Honestly, does that make them the faces? Because they're trying to save the world from Russell Crowe.
Right.
They're saying Russell Crowe needs to be killed right now in this flood and he'll never be in the rest of the world. We'll kill him.
Yeah.
But actually, they're the good guys in the movie.
Honestly, if I knew the world was coming to an end, the first thing I would do is try to take out Russell Crowe just to make sure he can't get through it. But that would be one hell of a fight.
I mean, look. I mean, the effects look great. I gotta say. I mean, everything looks obviously. I mean, you're talking about a ton of CGI on this. Everything's gonna be CGI, but I mean, it looks. I mean, it looks good. I'm curious to see how it goes. Of the three that we're gonna talk about, this is the only positive one that I got going. Next one coming out this week coming up is Son of God, which.
That was interesting. It was more of like a story of Jesus' life, and more than just the 3 days where he got the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah. Now, my problem with Son of God isn't the existence of this movie. It's the fact that you familiar with the History Channel miniseries, The Bible, that came out last year? What they have done is they have taken all of Jesus' scenes and just splice them together and have re-released them as the movie Son of God.
Basically just a re-editing of a show that everybody's already seen.
Correct. Yeah.
And but, the people that are going, I think you were making the point, the people that are going to go see Son of God probably saw the Bible.
Yeah, I feel like it's very much the same target audience.
But you got to think, though, I mean, it is smart for money-wise because, like you said, Passion of the Christ made all its money because of religious nuts.
Well, yeah, churches were bussing people in.
And that's exactly what's going to happen in this. Oh, my God, it's a movie about the Son of God. It's a serious movie about the Son of God. Let's get everybody going.
Are there many comedies about Jesus?
I don't know. Jesus Christ Superstar? I don't know. Is that funny?
No, it's not. It's just a lot of screeching and singing and Jesus being a tool.
I mean, there is... I mean, at the end of the trailers, when they started rolling, you know, they were like, call now to book your group trip. So that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's going to be a huge backlash when people kind of go in there and realize that they've seen this.
Because they've done nothing.
They've done absolutely nothing to give people a hint that that's what this
is. But now the general people that you're correct will be like, what the hell?
General,
you know, I've already seen this.
Yeah.
But the religious nuts, once again, will say, I'm going to support this because this is God. Like the people that like
they don't
like,
realize that God's not actually getting the money.
Yeah, the Ken Ham type who argued about evolution. Mm. He's going to probably be busloads of people in to see this. Going, you got to see this movie. And somebody in there might say, I already saw this. Well, now you got to see it in the theater because it'll make the money, and then they'll make more movies about God.
I actually think it's getting an IMAX release also.
Oh my God. Why does that need an IMAX release?
Because they could charge you an extra $6 a ticket.
It's brilliant money-wise.
I'm shocked it doesn't have a 3D release.
Oh God, could you imagine?
It's brilliant money-wise though, because it's them. All, how much did it cost to re-edit that movie? Maybe a couple $1,000s.
Yeah.
And now they're just making a boatload of money off of this.
Yeah.
The other one is a movie that's definitely not as well-known as the other two. Comes out on March 21st. It's called God's Not Dead. I had no idea that this movie existed until I went to a movie theater and I saw a big, one of those huge, like, 8-foot cardboard cutout advertisements. It stars Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah!
Disappointed!
TV's Hercules.
A couple of people from Duck Dynasty. I don't know their names.
Who is Kevin Sorbo playing?
I'll get to that.
Okay, please. Wait, Duck Dynasty?
So non-actors are acting in this movie.
And Kevin Sorbo.
At least he's an actor.
Yeah.
So they're in, I'm trying to think. There's a couple other like doozies in this thing. The main lead is Shane Harper, who's a Disney Channel actor. But what it is basically, and I don't know how everything ties together exactly, it is pure unadulterated propaganda piece.
Well, I would assume the Duck Dynasty people are in it.
Yeah, and now these like Christian propaganda movies are made all the time, and I have no problem with it being made. I don't care. The thing about movies is anybody should be able to make whatever movie that they want, mm-hmm. and I have no problem with it whatsoever. My problem it lies with like PureFlix Entertainment, the company that's distributing it, because the premise of it basically is the character played by Shane Harper goes to college, and his professor, played by Kevin Sorbo,
yes,
on the first day of class says, okay, first lesson is everybody write down God is dead. There's no such thing as God.
Well, of course he is. It's Zeus. You know, he killed him in the last episode of Xena with the Heinz blood dagger.
So,
that's all he's talking about.
So it turns into this big moral dilemma because the main
character... Wait, is this based on a true story? Because this sounds familiar.
I don't think... They haven't said anything in there as far... Like, they're not marketing it as such.
Okay.
You know... And he says to the kid, you know, if you don't believe that, then you have to state your case why I'm wrong.
I'm pretty sure this is based on a truth. I remember hearing something about this.
And at that point, I'm like, okay, all right, fine. This sounds interesting enough. But then about halfway through the trailer, Kevin Sorbo's character becomes like super heel. Like, he's like, you think you can prove me wrong? There's only one God in this classroom, and it's me.
Oh, God.
It's like, and then you start getting the kid doing, like, it's like, why do you hate God? And I'm like, ugh.
The only acceptable way this movie ends is if, like, lightning hits Kevin Sorbo.
And I know exactly, and, like, just by watching the 2.5-minute trailer, I know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be... The college professor had a wife or a daughter or somebody who's...
Of course.
Who died, and he is mad at God, so blah, 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 and now he's going to find the light or whatever. But it's just utter...
Disappointing!
Utter, like, propaganda. And I'm just like, I can't believe that this is getting a theatrical run in mainstream theaters. So those are the three... religious films that we have to look forward to or not look forward to.
I always look forward to religious films, usually the Jewish persuasion.
Yeah. Why?
Because there's so few of them. How many Jewish religion films can you name off the top of your head?
Prince of Egypt.
Is that Jewish? That's it's isn't that about
the story of Passover?
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not Jewish.
The Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. That's an all encompassing.
The Ten Commandments is not a Jewish story. Are you kidding me?
Listen, it's also a Christian story.
Yes, but it's about the Jews. And
that doesn't,
from
that doesn't mean anything. There's Jews in the producers. That doesn't mean it's a Jewish religion movie.
Jesus Christ. Who doesn't appear in any Jews?
Does that mean Schindler's List is a Jewish religion movie?
No, but it does mean Inglourious Basterds is.
All right. We have a couple emails with questions that we're going to get to.
Emails, huh?
Yep. We have three that we're going to go to.
Awesome.
First one from, I don't know how the hell to pronounce this username, but I'll try it. It's, Brass, I'll let you take a crack at this. How do you pronounce this username?
You're trying to get him to say his name backwards so he disappears back to the fifth dimension?
Bryadamicus? Bryadamicus.
Okay, Bryadamicus.
That'd have been great if you would just blinked out of existence. Oh, we finally got him.
Fan of the show, thoughts on the AMC Dine-In movie theaters?
I love it. Listen, I know Dave Swan is a big fan of just the IMAX theater, and that's the only thing that I hate that Menlo AMC Dine-In theaters doesn't have is IMAX. But once you go there and you sit in those nice recliners, especially if you do the CineSuite.
Cinema Suite, yes!
If you sit in that recliner, and you don't fall asleep while watching your movie, and you're stuffing your face with, as I like to stuff it with, the macaroni and cheese bistro with chicken, which is delicious. With a pretzel breadstick. It's heaven on earth with a nice, big, tall beer, watching a movie. And the thing I love most about it is I hate when a movie is popular and I get my ticket and I have to run in. I have to find a seat to sit down. I like the fact that 3 days before I go, I want that ticket. I want that seat. And I pick two seats all the time. G4, because it was my favorite TV station when it was around. And F5, because Brock Lesnar. I don't know why. Those are the seats I pick. But they also happen to be two of the best seats for watching.
Are they next to each other?
No, why would G4 and F5 be next to each other?
I'm wondering, like, why are you picking those two seats? Are you going with your wife? Or are you saving one for Elijah?
Shannon usually gets G3. If I get G4,
okay,
and then if I get F5, she gets F4.
Okay, so it's either F6, it's rather. Either G4 or F5.
That's where I sit.
What if she tries to sit in F5? Are you like move?
No. And in all honesty, I just get those tickets. We always sit. She's always on my left, and I'm always on the right. You know, weird. You know, marriage things. You always find. But the dine-in theater, going back, is the greatest invention to the movie theater since digital production, digital
projection,
and it is without a shadow of doubt. Revolutionizing movie experience, I think. If they could bring IMAX in there, I am in heaven.
I absolutely agree. I think that it's the perfect date night because, you know, it's dinner and a movie in one location. And, of course, the ability to have a nice, like you were saying, tall glass of beer, eat a burger with those Parmesan fries that they have. Yeah, oh, my God. The best. But I will say I don't go see movies I really want to see there. Like, if I, let's say, like,
I was going to say that I'm on the same page with
Yeah,
you.
Like, Guardians comes out. I'll go see Guardians in the regular theater first. Then, if I want to go for a second viewing, my wife and I will go to the dine-in theater because I don't want to risk being distracted by waiters or anything like that on a movie that I really want to see. Like, the first movie we went to go see in a dine-in theater was African Cats, the Disney nature movie.
Never even heard of it.
Every year on Earth Day, Disney puts out a nature movie. And we were like, we want to try out this theater, but I don't want to see anything I haven't, you know, that I care about. So let's go see this. And it was really enjoyable. Like, we saw Thor for the second time there. So it's not something that I'll be like, I'm going to go to a midnight showing at the, you know, at the dining theater. I also like the fact that while you're waiting for your film, you could, there's the bar that you can just sit at.
MacGuffin's.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's named after?
No.
Oh my God, you're on a film podcast. You don't know what it's named after. MacGuffin's were things Alfred Hitchcock put in the movie to fool you to think you were solving the movie.
Oh.
And at the end you were wrong because Alfred Hitchcock was smarter than everybody else.
Right.
So those were called MacGuffin's.
My wife would know that because she loves Alfred Hitchcock. I don't.
But, you know, I agree. I see either movies I'm seeing for the second time in the AMC or see something that require, like, comedies that require a little
like
attention.
Like African Cats.
Yeah, like African Cats would be something that you really don't need to center your full attention
I'd on. Rather sit in an empty theater, get my food, and watch nothing than African Cats.
I saw a Zookeeper in it, and I saw that on, like, the first run. And, like, that was fine because you didn't need to, you know, focus your
Kevin
full attention.
Kevin James is a zookeeper. Fuck you.
The one thing that I will say, though, is when they first rolled out, they had a much better system, but they weren't able to educate the public to that system.
How has it changed?
It was, you spent, like, $15, and you paid for your ticket, and it came with a $5 food voucher. Or something. It was something along those lines. Yeah. But they just were not able to educate people. People were like, why am I spending $15 on it? So they changed it to you spend the movie on the... You buy the movie ticket and you do it. And it can get expensive. Like if
Yes, it can.
If you see a movie in the cinema suites in 3D, it can hit like $20 a ticket. It can get expensive.
That's like for food.
I usually know if I'm going there for an evening, I'm dropping at least 60-something bucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something to see every movie that comes out in it, but no. I mean,
oh, by the way, another good thing about the cinema suites, nobody under 21 admitted.
Yeah,
yes,
that's good.
Yeah, with the cinema suite. Not the case with the regular theaters.
No, Fork and Screen,
that's
anybody 18. Can go in.
No, Fork and Screen's 18.
18, but like kids can go with an adult. For
oh, they can?
Yeah, they can go with an adult. But
me being a big horror fan, I hate little kids in horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I hate the screaming and everything.
Well, when cinema suites, absolutely nobody under 21 is permitted.
Yeah, when I saw Thor there, somebody had like an infant baby with them.
In the cinema suites?
No, not in the cinema suites.
Because I would have been like, ma'am, he's not 21. Get him out of here.
Right.
You and your damn baby, get out of here.
All right, next question's from DanDog1000. I really liked in the first episode how you talked about Zac Efron being an actual talented actor. Who do you think are the best young actors today? All right, well, I'll preface this by saying Zac Efron's 26, so I don't really know if he still qualifies as a young actor. I'll give three different...
He's one of those ones that'll just be forever young.
Yeah. I'll give three different answers onto this in three different age brackets. Logan Lerman, who is actually in Noah coming out. He was Percy Jackson in the Percy Jackson movies.
Okay.
Probably his best performance is in The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is a fantastic movie if you haven't seen it. I think he's in his 20s. Going down a little younger than that is Asa Butterfield from Ender's Game, which Ender's Game is a movie that just boggles my mind how that movie did not do much better than it did. Ender's Game, in my opinion, is the most underrated movie of 2013. I think that that's probably, I would put that maybe in the top five movies to come out last year, and it just kind of snuck out, made very little noise, came out. And that kid, he's the star, he plays Ender, and he hangs in there with Harrison Ford and blanking on his name, the Mandarin. I know you love it when I call
he's
him
not
that.
The Mandarin. Trevor.
What's the Mandarin?
Ben Kingsley.
Sir Ben Kingsley. There we go.
I didn't know you were actually like struggling with that.
Yeah, no, I blanked on it for a second. I think he's 16, like 15, 16, 17. And then younger than that, there's an actor called Hayden Beverly who's on a TV show called The Fosters. As far as like younger kids, probably him. Either of you have...
Chloe Grace Moretz, Hit Girl, probably okay. The one that immediately springs to my mind.
Yeah.
Very talented actress. I mean, with kid actors, like, I think the kid from that played Draco in Harry Potter said it best, is like, when Hollywood casts a child actor, like, in a franchise, they're really making an investment based on what they think is going to happen, because when you cast them that young, they really can't act yet. You're just kind of hoping that eventually they're going to blossom into a good actor.
Yeah. With me, I cannot think of the name of this girl. She was a little girl from Beasts of the Southern Wild last year. She was nominated for Academy Award.
I know who you're talking about.
And she was in, she was in another movie this year. That
I felt bad for her when she didn't win the Academy Award.
I didn't. I mean, you're that young. You have more opportunities. You know, what do you think?
You could be a Gabourey Sidibe and only be nominated once in your life because she'd never get nominated
well,
again.
Well, she does a lot of TV now. And she's awesome on TV. She was awesome on the Big C and awesome on American Horror Story.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw an episode of American Horror Story with her.
But, I would definitely say, like, for a young actress, you know, she's how young? 8, 9 years old, and she's hanging with, you know, people that are...
I think she was nominated, like, with Meryl Streep and, like...
I have a bigger list of worst child actors than I do of best child actors.
Oh, no, well, that goes without saying. There's a ton of terrible ones. I haven't... The Walking Dead's on my to-do list. The kid that plays Carl is sort of, like, the big, Hollywood... darling right now.
Is
like,
he really?
Yeah. He's getting a big movie coming up. He's
Chandler Riggs.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, I just can't stand Carl.
That's a character, though, you know?
You have to separate the character from the actor.
No, I
met him at Monster Mania once. He's a really nice kid, and he's very... he doesn't think he's a celebrity. Like,
that's good.
You know, he just talks to you like... Which is weird, you know, talking with like a 15-year-old kid like he's my buddy and everything, but... He's very approachable, very humble.
That's good. Well, you know, his character makes me want to... throw my TV screen out.
Oh, it gets worse. If they keep going, it gets worse. With the comics, it gets a lot worse.
Even worse is Rick, by the way. I hate Rick. Keep going.
All right, the last email question is from Stan the Man.
These are all Swan's cousins.
Yeah, face front true believers.
Stan Swan, that's his name.
I enjoyed the movie news from a geek perspective. I loved the discussion of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2 weeks ago. I would have loved the episode last week if that actually aired. There was a glitch
in the Matrix where all of our DC animated film talk got gone.
Yeah, the entire that's why there was no episode. Somebody emailed asking why there was no episode last week, but there was, that's why.
That was the for some reason, Audacity really didn't like that episode.
Yeah. My question is, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Arrow?
Arrow.
I only watched a couple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm kind of biased. Arrow is one of the best superhero shows. And, I mean, this is coming from a guy who's only watched a couple of seasons of Smallville, but it's, like, it's the best... you have normal fans that are comic book guys that or comic book girls that watch it because of the superhero implications, but you also have casual fans that just watch it because it's a good television show. Like TV.com, always they do their top 10 shows all the time. Every month they update it, and Arrow is constantly on the top 10.
I may be a little biased as somebody who hosts who co-hosts an Arrow review show on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
I was just going to say, go ahead and shill it.
Yep. Leon Yu, the WDPN Arrowcast, www.leonyuwdpn.podomatic.com, or search Leon Yu WDPN on iTunes. We review every episode, and we're currently doing like a recap of season one, recap of season two up to this point. But Arrow continues to get better and better and better. This last the last new episode that they did, which I'm not going to spoil anything, but you know they're going so hardcore into comic book lore that people have been clamoring for. Have you watched any season two?
Yeah, I'm up to like two or three episodes ago.
Okay, so like you saw when they brought in
I saw the trial.
They brought in Solomon Grundy.
No, I'm not up to Solomon Grundy.
Okay, well he's not like a zombie.
Okay, I was up to the Flash crossover.
You saw Solomon Grundy.
You wouldn't know it because they don't.
It's very like it's just very like haphazardly thrown in. The first like guy on the Mirakuru that Oliver fights, the really strong, that's thrown him through the crates and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's Solomon Grundy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was about to say if you were two, three episodes ago, then
yeah. Why didn't he say he was born on a Monday though?
No, they do that. They at one point Oliver and Diggle are like looking up the thing and they go through the rhymes of Solomon Grundy born on a Monday. So it's there. You just have to pay.
I might have been cooking or something.
You were tweeting
probably.
You're gonna say S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You're the only person that would say that because that show stinks.
No, it doesn't stink.
It does. It's bad.
Be ready for season two.
And it should get a season two because it's kicking ass in the ratings. But
yeah, because it stinks. It's you know,
shows that stink do good in the ratings.
I mean, I watch both shows, but here's the determining factor for me is really Tuesdays at 8:00. I sit on my couch and I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I make sure I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it's on TV and when it's there. Arrow, if I get to it 2 weeks later, it's where it is.
I'm the exact opposite with that. Like, I make sure I always watch Arrow, partly because I do a review show. Yeah. But I haven't watched S.H.I.E.L.D. since the mid-season break just because it got so unbearable to me. I will catch up and I will start watching it again, but it's just there's nothing pressing making me want to...
I'm flipped on that because, like, in my opinion, I think the characters on S.H.I.E.L.D. are better than the characters on Arrow.
Ugh.
And that's just, like, if I just match up
Coulson just vomited in my mouth a little bit.
Like, if I match up Coulson versus Oliver, I'll go with Coulson. If I match Diggle and Felicity versus Fitz and Simmons, I'll go with Fitz and Simmons. Like, if I go down that line, it's just a personal preference.
Yeah, it's a personal preference.
Those characters I like better.
I think it might also be because this is your first Joss show. I've been with Joss for quite a while. And I've experienced these characters before in other shows. I think that's why I'm bored with them. I've seen them before.
Hey there, folks. It's your old buddy Kev, shamelessly interrupting the flow of this awesome WDPN podcast to chill my other stuff. Bear with me here, folks. We'll be back to the show in a minute. Now, I know you're enjoying this tremendous audio gold you're listening to right now, and you're probably upset that the audio geniuses of the WDPN are only around for you 1 hour per week, right? Well, in the words of Lex Luthor, wrong! We've got a plethora of shows out there, all available for streaming and download, both on Podomatic.com and iTunes. And the best part is, we've got something for everyone. You a sports fan? If so, then let host Colin West and his panel take you for a ride through the wild world of sports in the 4-Minute Drill. These guys cover everything from baseball to football, basketball, hockey, both the pro and collegiate level. Maybe you dig the world of sports entertainment more than actual sports. Well, look no further than Watch the Line, the WDPN Pro Wrestling Talk podcast. Join me and my kinda all-starish panel of personalities from around the world of professional wrestling as we provide an insider's view on all the latest news of the day. Okay, so maybe you don't like any athletics whatsoever. I get you, man. I really do. But for those in tune with the world of pop culture, I present to you Till Death Do Us Pod with me and my wife, Jackie. From the comfort of our living room, we're going to be exploring the biggest pop culture stories of the day. Reality not your thing? You're someone who enjoys living in the world of fiction more, right? Okay. Well, I got something for you, too. If you're a fan of the CW's hit show Arrow, then I have some good news. You can join Kevin Clark and me as we enter the world of Starling City in Leon Yu, the WDPN Arrowcast, exploring the fictional universe of the hit show and expanding on it with our own predictions and crackpot theories. A little bit too focused for you? All right, well, let's go broad. Take a ride to the glitz and glamour, or lack thereof, found in the world of cinema, with Silver Screen Spoilers, hosted by our very own Dave Swan. Dave and his crew, myself included, will break down all the latest news on the big and small screen alike and provide in-depth, spoiler-ridden reviews of all the biggest and best Hollywood releases. What's that? Not a fan of all the colorful language of these explicit-rated podcasts? You want the freedom to listen to WDPM with the entire family, right? Well, gather the parents, grandparents, and kids around your computer or mobile device as Peter Mandel and myself take you inside the world of Disney with Two Men and the Mouse. Pete and I explore our love of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond as we provide reviews, news, and tips to help you experience the magic of Walt Disney World wherever you may be. Well, there you go. That's all I got. For now. We got plenty more show ideas cooking, so search iTunes for WDPN to find all these amazing White Dragon Podcast Network shows. Visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network for direct links to each show, plus all the latest WDPN news and info on when new episodes drop. All right, I'm done. Back to the show. Enjoy!
How are we doing on time, just so I know?
We're at 42 minutes already.
Okay. All right, so I'll do a real quick thing on Pompeii 3D, and then we'll jump into...
You're the only one at this table that actually saw Pompeii. So.
Okay. Pompeii 3D. Interesting movie, not bad, not great. Played very much like a television show for the first 85% of the movie.
How so?
Just very low budget, very character... I don't want to say character-driven, because every character is very one-dimensional, and you've seen all this before.
Were they saving the budget for the volcano?
Yes, absolutely, and that's where it was. I was like, this is really bad. But then once the volcano erupts, it's kind of like, okay, this is where they saved, you know, 80% of their budget for these final 25 minutes or so.
And I heard it's awesome when it does explode. Like, yes. I heard visually it's, like, stunning, people say.
Yeah, once it gets to there... It's great, but once you get up to that, it's a slow build.
So it's like something if you saw it on like on demand or something like that, you just fast forward to.
Yeah, probably, because again, the characters are nothing new. It's a story. It's very much similar to the Hercules movie that came out a little while ago. It's almost the same exact story as far as it's a gladiator movie, and. You know, it is what it is. One thing I noticed about it, and I didn't really realize they were gone until I saw them pop up on here, is opening credits. I realized it was the first time I've seen opening credits in a movie in a very, very long time in this. And
George Lucas was ahead of the curve, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. So, I mean, Pompeii, it's good. If you're going to see it, go see it in 3D, because once you get to the volcano scenes, it's great in 3D. So, you know, I'll give it a 6 out of 10, just because as good as the volcano stuff is building up to it.
That 6 is just all primarily volcano 6.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, everything good about it is in the last 20 minutes of it. Right.
I saw a review online of it, and I mean, I kind of wanted to go see it just to see the volcano stuff.
Microphone.
The review I saw online said, but I hear a lot of people actually agree with 100%, is it's a perfect blend of Titanic and Gladiator. To the point that it's both storylines working at the same time. And if it was 15 years ago, it probably would have been a bigger movie because it would have hit both of those audiences. And I don't know, from you seeing it, is that a reliable thing? Is that?
I think so. Like I said, I went with Legend of Hercules, which was the Kellan Lutz version of Hercules that came out, I think, earlier this year. I think it came out in January.
Another Hercules coming out with The Rock?
Yes, yeah. Just because it was a much lower budget version of Gladiator. It's not...
And who is the heel governor? I heard it was horrible casting. I forget.
Oh, the heel governor is...
If somebody that you... Like, you think of, like Gladiator Roman times governor. You do not picture this man.
It's the governor from Walking Dead.
No. He would have been a better choice because he probably... It's a good actor. It's a big...
My daddy told me, volcanoes, they don't explode. Yeah, I'm totally...
It wasn't Kevin Costner, right?
No.
Somebody along those lines, though. Actor, like... You know what? Trust the iPhone, even though it's not iPhone.
You have it right... Yeah, the casting there, you have...
Do the people at least look Italian?
No, no.
So it doesn't look like they were from Italy at all?
No. One of the main female leads is from The Matrix, Trinity from The Matrix.
Oh, God.
All right. He's playing Corvus, by the way, which I like.
Okay.
Played by 24 alum Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh! There we go. All right. Oh, because when I think Roman governor.
But Kit Harington is in it. Jon Snow.
From
Game of Thrones. Yeah, he does play the main
lead. Jon
and you do
Snow.
Have Adewale Akinyi Igbaji from Oz. And
you said it.
From Lost. Awesome actor. Don't know how good he is. And it is directed by Paul W.S. Anderson.
Is that the guy in Lost that played, what's his name?
Mr. Echo.
Oh, okay. Not the one I was thinking of.
No. The other guy that was also in Oz and Lost. The other black guy who was Oz and Lost, not the one in the wheelchair.
Gotcha.
But it's directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who directed the Resident Evil movies.
Okay.
So, I mean...
And Paul W.S. Anderson loves himself in the... Because you get a Paul W.S. Anderson film directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, written by Paul W.S. Anderson, produced by Paul W.S., all rolling through. And they do... One of the things that's annoying with the opening credits, and I can kind of see why they have been forgotten so many recently in films... is you have the opening credits rolling combined with subtitles, combined with location titles, and right. It's a whole lot of just clusterfuck of readings.
Yeah.
So that's really all to say about Pompeii 3D. Moving on to RoboCop,
yes,
which everybody here has seen.
I just saw it today, literally hours ago.
Okay. I've seen it twice.
You saw that movie twice?
Yes.
You didn't like it?
Listen, I loved it.
Okay.
I thought it was the greatest rendition of RoboCop that's ever happened since 1988 and on. That being said, the original RoboCop came out prior to 88.
Yes.
It is the biggest, let's remake this movie and take out everything it's famous for, but throw a couple nods so that fans of the original...
It's a completely different film than the original.
It is, but it's let's throw in little nods of, to keep those fans happy, let's throw the gray suit in there. But I do like... how they got around the gray suit to the black suit,
yeah.
Which was perfect. And I even said it to Swan driving home. I said it was perfect because it made Michael Keaton so much more of like a shit bag that he wanted the black suit for. It made it for a good reason, for the stealth, for the
because he's Batman.
Basically, I did also point that. I said, how many people do you think noticed that Commissioner Gordon was talking to Batman for most of that movie?
Yeah, I did. I certainly did. You know what I actually found was funny is that now Batman was in a RoboCop movie where in The Dark Knight Returns, Peter Weller, RoboCop, was Batman.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, it's just something that only I think of, but I thought that was cool.
What I liked about it is I thought that it was exactly what a remake should be, which is it took nods from the original, but it told its own story.
Yeah.
And
I was glad that Murphy was still Murphy. Like, it was still Alex Murphy.
Yeah, I do like that there was more human to him. And then I like how they did start kind of turning it into... We are allowed to spoil stuff, right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
I do like how they turned it into the... where he's too much of a human. You have to dial that down.
Yes.
And it turned him into a robot. I did kind of like that stuff. And like I said, though, to me, though, it took everything... The original RoboCop is known for being this gritty... bloody, violent action film,
yes.
Sci-fi film, and it's considered a sci-fi classic. Like it
definitely is.
It's ridiculously high up on every list, and it's a great piece of film. Actually, it took all that out and made it glossy. Like the original fight in the original with the Ed 724, whatever the hell is, the big machine is epic. With they're all trying to save him and everything. In this one, it's just him jumping around. You know, I do agree. This, like Swan said, it is a very updated scene. The opening scene in Iran was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because when it happened, when they killed the kid, I was like, oh, man, maybe they are going that route. Mm-hmm. And then that was it from there.
Yeah. I mean, Gary Oldman in it is awesome.
Yes.
Samuel L. Jackson in it is great.
Especially at the end of the day,
you can take those scenes out and it doesn't really...
That was in it to get him in it. And I got to say, Lawrence Fishburne did a great job in this movie.
And
you think I'm Lawrence Fishburne? Oh, hell no!
And more on geek culture, Rorschach was awesome in it.
Yes, he was.
As the douchebag.
I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, is that Rorschach? And then I realize, yes, it is.
How do you even say, is that Rorschach?
It was like a brief second when I first saw him.
It's Freddy Krueger, the real Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
Swan will not be doing any more Silver Swan spoilers, whatever this show is called, because he's going to be murdered at the end of this. So your new host will be me.
Okay.
Other shitbag remakes.
Save it for October, Brad. We'll get there.
But yeah, I mean, Samuel L. Jackson playing Bill O'Reilly is fun.
It was just funny how, like, at the end they had to throw a motherfucker in there for him.
Yeah. But they had to throw it in, but they still had to...
Believe
it. Yeah, like, if you're going to do it, do it. You're allowed one in a PG-13 movie.
You are, yeah. You know? There were none other.
Yeah, so throw it in there, you know?
And this motherfucker! I thought the one part where I thought it kind of had one up on the original was it was a much more human story. It was less of like you got to really know Murphy. In the first one, you know, you get to know Murphy in like the first 10 minutes, and then he's just RoboCop, and he's RoboCop for most of the film.
But I think they do that. Like, I do agree with you. I do like that. But I think that they do that in the original more because it's supposed to show how cold and robotic he is.
Yes.
He is a robot in the first one.
Yeah.
You know, he does have those moments where he does have thoughts of his previous life when he's playing the videos of his kid and his wife.
And when he flips the gun around.
And when he does the tour of
that. I was hoping they were going to keep that. That at least at one point in time he was going to twirl the gun, but I don't think he did.
Yeah. But it just, I do agree with you. Like the scene when they show him what's left of his body.
I was gonna say that was my favorite scene.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
All he is a head, a brain, lungs, and a hand.
Yeah, one hand. And how did he get his hand back?
What do you mean? How did he?
Because it got crushed underneath the ed at the towards
no,
the foot.
Didn't.
Yeah, did it?
No, that was the metal arm.
The metal
the right
arm
hand was
did.
The okay.
Yeah, he shoots off the metal arm, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
I like how messed up he got it. But I really liked the whole, like, can the human brain counteract software programming a machine? I thought that was really, really cool. The fact that, like, the brain all of a sudden just started pumping the dopamine again once he was drained of all emotion. The fact that at the end when he's slowly able to raise that gun up against Batman.
I thought that was a cop-out. I told Swan on the ride home. I hated that ending just because it was like, oh, I can't raise my hand. But I'll fight it, and I raised it and killed you.
Because he pointed it at his kid. I think at
but
that point,
that's what I said. That's
why
I said the Swan should have been. He should have said something. Now you're committing a crime. This is now an attempt at murder, and he can do that. Not the whole I'm overriding the thing that I cannot attack
See,
an
I
OCP.
Like,
a red alert. You know, I cannot attack a red alert. Shouldn't be that you're committing a crime. Now I can go after you.
But see, I disagree there because I thought that was part of the human journey. Because the whole point of this film was man versus machine, what's stronger, I think. And that was the point where humanity wins out over the robot, over the program.
But maybe that's why the original RoboCop is a better film, because there wasn't that journey. It was...
Well, the wife and kid were not even present.
They left. They said, hey, my husband's, you know, shot the shit, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, come on, how can it not be a better film? You have Red as the heel. Red is the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, my biggest problem with the film is, and a lot of these films fall into this trap, is that Michael Keaton goes from being not really a villain to being a ridiculous villain for no apparent reason. Like, that final scene when he's like, I can kill your family if I want to. It's like, there's no reason why he's making this jump.
Yeah, it goes
from
a little
character standpoint.
I mean, you could say he's always kind of a dickbag in this film.
But there's a difference between being a dickbag and holding a gun at a 10-year-old kid.
You see him early in the film have, like, human traits where he's looking at the pictures of possible RoboCops, and he's telling you about each story, and, you know, you see that they touch him. And like Swan said, then he goes from that to pointing a gun at a young kid.
I think that was more of a statement, though. I don't think he's actually shooting a kid. Like, the trigger never would have gotten pulled.
No, I don't think he's going to shoot it, but even just to hold a gun at a little kid and a defenseless woman, it doesn't seem like something that was in his character
up to
that point. I mean, it just seems like the further they go along, it's like, what's better than a hero? A dead hero. It's like they start making these jumps into, like, villain territory. It just didn't seem like organic.
Well, the
jumps.
The one thing that I thought was very like oh my god, like something that really grabbed me about like how evil Omnicorp was in the film was when he first wakes up as RoboCop and he's running and Gary Oldman just lets him run out.
Yeah,
and the big drone looks at him and scans him and it says property of Omnicorp.
Right. Yeah.
You know, do not engage. I was just like, wow. It doesn't even. They're not considering him a person. It's property of Omnicorp.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's like 95%.
More than that, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to, they'd probably come in and take that all back and say, okay, well, now here you are.
Head,
of lungs, and hand.
Yeah.
Tell your wife you love her. Let her put you to bed tonight.
Yeah.
She could just put you in the drawer next to the nightstand.
It was a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'd buy it on Blu-ray. Like I was thinking, is this a movie that I would buy on Blu-ray, or is this a movie that, like, if I'm going through like HBO or Stars and I see that it's on demand, I'll be like, oh, cool, I'll watch that. Like, it's definitely that. I don't know if I'd drop the $30 to buy it.
Do you own the original RoboCop on Blu-ray?
No, I don't.
Would you own the original?
Yes.
Okay.
See, the one thing I said to Brass, and I said it on the way out, is I think it could have used a little bit more levity at times.
Yeah, I could see that.
They threw in a little bit here and there with, I keep saying Rorschach, but
no, Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, his character here and there, but
what happens?
They're playing the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, where he's like, "What happens if I shoot the little asshole with the stunt gun?"
Yeah, and I mean they threw that stuff in there, but for what's a really long movie and what could have probably have been half an hour shorter,
probably yeah.
There wasn't really enough levity in there to. And they could have found some excuses to do it. It's still a pretty preposterous concept to throw it in there.
Yeah.
And
I thought the whole, like, the question of whether or not drones should be able to patrol our streets, I thought that was an interesting question, because that's a question that I feel will be raised within the next 50 years.
Oh, yeah. I think that was a good thing. And I like the idea of Samuel L. Jackson playing not a Fox News correspondent taking what will inevitably be
Fox News' take on everything. Yeah.
And, you know, and I thought that was interesting. And, you know, all that stuff was good.
By the way, that guy who was wanted for murder for 6 years that he picks out of the press conference at the police station, what the hell was that guy doing there? Yeah. You're wanted for murder, and you're at the Detroit Police Department watching a press conference with the robot cop that's going to be hunting you?
Yeah.
That was just like, I was like, what the hell is this guy? Like, when he first was looking at the crowd, I'm like, he's probably going to see someone that was like wanted for like shoplifting or wanted for like theft or something. He's like wanted for murder, and I'm like, holy crap!
Murder, or wanted for murder or rape.
And
it's like... Just plows him down.
Mm-hmm.
Right
in front of his kid. That kid was not annoying, by the way. I was afraid he would be.
No, because he was barely in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
I'd give it a solid 7. 7.5.
7? Sean?
7.5.
Yeah, why not?
A 7.5.
75%. It was average.
No. Average of 1 through 10 is 5. Not 7.5. 7.5 is where you're starting to talk about these are upper echelon movies.
No, it's not. 8 is where you start talking about.
No. Oh, 7.5 isn't close to an 8?
In terms of grading in a school where like you get a 75 out of 100, that's a C. That's an average.
No. When you do movies, and I'll argue this to the death. When you do movies on a scale of 1 to 10, a 5 is like an average movie.
If I hear someone rate something a 5 out of 10, I'm not watching it because that means it sucks.
If you go on IMDb, which is considered the number one rating of movies, even if it's idiotic how people rate. If you see a 7.5, you're talking about Best Picture category.
No.
Yes, you are. There's films that won Best Picture have a 6.8 rating. The Greatest Show on Earth, 6.8.
Then maybe I'm rating it a 6.
Six is better.
You did say 7 when we were walking out.
No, I did not say 7.
Yes,
no,
did.
I did not. I said a 6. And maybe a low 6.
That I'm remembering this now. You rated Electra a 7 out of 10. On
no,
the
I did not give Electra a 7
don't
out of 10.
Don't you dare, you son of a bitch.
Let me go look at my IMDb ratings of Electra, if it's even still on there.
We're walking out of there, and I said, well, that movie sucked. You were
I
like,
did not give
I
that
it
a
7,
7
out of 10. I remember, because I was like, a 7 out of 10?
You're crazy. And by the way, Electra is better than this RoboCop movie.
No, it is not.
If it's close.
This RoboCop movie was fun.
I think maybe you've had some time to stew on this, because when we left the theater, you definitely said it was a 7 out of 10.
No, I did not say 7. I did not
say
7.
We got to start videotaping
you
at all times.
But I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to look
holding him accountable.
I'm trying to look up other movies I've said that are 7 out of 10 just to compare.
This is thrilling radio while you look
at it is. But, all right, but in all honesty, I would give it a 5.5, maybe a low 6 out of 10. And I said 6 out of 10 on the way out, Swan. You just heard 7 because you were like, this is the greatest movie ever.
What did I say was the greatest movie ever?
Hey, listen, you're making accusations about me now.
Make accusations. I said what you actually said.
It's one thing to accurately portray the things that you said. It's another thing to out and out lie. Make things up. It was like when we walked out of Spider-Man 2 and you proclaimed, I am the Lord Jesus Christ.
Spider-Man 2, man, I hated that one.
No, you did not!
No, Spider-Man 3 is the one I like that you made fun of me
oh,
for.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. You're right.
Oh, 2, who's hearing me wrong? Spider-Man 2, I hate
Spider-Man 2,
it.
You did hate
yeah,
it.
Who hears me wrong? Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Obviously.
But you're defending yourself saying that you liked Spider-Man 3.
Not, but I said I liked it better than Spider-Man 2. I didn't love it. I know, and I am.
This is a silver screen spoilers for another day.
I am in a minority. I know that. With 100%, I know that.
Are you done looking things
up?
Go
ahead. I gave my rating 6. All 6 right. out of 10.
All right, so you gave a 6 out of 10. Kev,
I'm sticking with my 7 out of 10.
All right, you're giving it a 7 out of 10.
I think it was 7.5 you gave.
Yeah, I did. Okay, I'm going to stick with the 7.5. I'm going to stick to my laurels. I'm not going to let him bully me out of this.
All right, I'm going to go somewhere in the middle and give a 6.5.
Okay.
I could live with that rating. 7.5, no.
Okay.
That's right. Almost as bad as me wanting to kill him for that Nightmare on Elm Street comment.
All right, so that's going to... Are we good on time?
Yeah, we're an hour, 2 minutes.
So. Okay, so that's going to wrap up this episode. Tune in this Friday night for a very special 30-minute special edition where we give our Oscar predictions because the Oscars are this Sunday night.
Oh.
And...
Let's say, are you dictating when I post these now?
There's not a big window of opportunity.
No, there's not. Okay, so we better keep going.
So, until this Friday, I'm Dave Swan for Kevin Kessler, for Brian Brass. We will see you at the movies.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.